Gloucestercast 247. Our friend Kim Smith has failed us today.
Failed us today, but he's got valid reasons.
But we have Pat Dalpiaz.
Good morning.
Co-hosting this morning.
Yes.
My good friend with Jimmy GMG, I guess that's what
GMG,
we're calling
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
GMG Jimmy?
GMG Jimmy. That's what I call him. And I send him out on a sub-assignment.
Well, let's be real. You don't call me that at all. We all know what she calls me. Hi, yeah. Gloucester. Good morning.
Jimmy Dalpiaz is here. And Michael Thompson from SCORE is here with us. We're going to talk to him in a little bit. We have a few bits of things to take care of first. So wait, did you? So I saw the post with the people writing on the sidewalks.
Yes.
That was all Jimmy?
Well, we drove by it, and I was heading to someplace else, the library. I was heading to the library, and we drove by. We said, huh, that's a story. And so I gave him my camera, and he went back while I was doing my work at the library and did the interview. I wrote it up.
It's a two-for-one.
It's a two-for-one.
I got a two-for-one out of this deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pat and Jimmy, a team.
Yeah, and you know how he is. He's so social that he really, you know, gets these people talking.
So
and
we'll talk about that in a little bit, what the post was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But that was fantastic. Bigger news, you guys showed up with 20 of these cool mugs.
Yeah.
It says the Gloucester cast on one side. They're the color. They're the royal blue and white. And it says 250 locked in. Because I always say, don't I?
Yes, you do. That's
we're locked in.
Yep.
It's so special. So,
I had those sketched out to bring for the 200th. And somehow that all fell out of the air. I don't remember what happened there. But with the 250 coming up, the 250th podcast coming up soon here,
these
I wanted to have a special edition
very
mug.
Special. I love it. So whoever shows up next week, it's going to be a big week. There's a lot happening next
There's
week.
There's a lot happening next
50th
week.
50th birthday next week.
I know. Yeah.
50.
And remind me, because we'll come back to that, too, because we had an interesting experience.
And it's Pat's birthday today.
Yes. It is.
I wish you would have told me. I would have got you something.
No.
Now I feel terrible. You show up with cookies. You show up with a Happy Belly cookie, 20 mugs, and I got nothing for you.
She's got the seat. She's sitting in the co-host seat.
Co-host, very special.
Yeah. Down at Happy Belly, they were very nice to tell me that on my Serenity card, I have a meal and an dessert waiting for me that's going to expire. And I said, well, actually, I think we're planning to use it tonight. I don't know the guy's name behind the counter there, but he's so nice when you go.
Tom?
Tall guy.
Oh, no, different guy. Okay.
And he said, I think we're going to go to Lat 43 tonight and use the Serenity card. And he said, oh, he works over there sometimes waiting, and they've got a new menu, so we're looking forward to doing that tonight.
I had a perfect Gloucester day yesterday. I went out on the Thomas Lennon.
Oh, what a day for that.
It was gorgeous, but I'm on there, and on the stern, you know, right on the by the helm and the stern of the boat, I was having this conversation with two or three other people that also had Serenity cards, and we're talking about the two different times in the past month that they put $10 onto the card for us to use, and see it. But people, so this is the thing. You know how a lot of restaurants they give you on like some places like Denny's, you get a free breakfast on your birthday. The Serenity card is free, and they give you a free entree any day. There's a whole month period that you can use it any. It doesn't necessarily have to be on your birthday.
At any of the restaurants on the card.
Yes, bananas. So we're talking about that on the ship yesterday. Just incredible.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
We're looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to using mine. I haven't used mine. I've been saving up. Saving up for a special time.
Yeah.
I had a free coffee on there. I used that yesterday at Happy Belly. It's become Kate and I. It's our go-to Saturday morning spot. We wake up in our pajamas. I love their breakfast burrito. Anyway, a little bit of business to get through. Cape Ann Community Cinema has been sponsoring a contest. If you share on Facebook, not like, share the podcast on Facebook, tag me. You entered into winning two free tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. It's like $20 value. Can't beat it. All you have to do is hit the share button. What?
Somebody win last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
They
good.
Did. I forget their name.
Sorry.
But I told them. They know.
Okay. All right. Very
they
good.
Know.
Very good.
In the top of the blog all the time, Cape Ann Community Cinema's their schedule is always there. Mm-hmm. And it's also linked in the podcast notes. We're going to start talking to our friend, new friend, Michael Thompson from SCORE. I interviewed some people from SCORE about 7 years ago, I'm going to say maybe 8 years ago, when they were at the Chamber of Commerce. At the time...
Four score and 7 years ago. I just heard that.
At the time, I thought it was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
And I still believe it's a no-brainer. Yeah. But Michael is going to there's some things coming up with SCORE. He's going to talk about what SCORE is and what it can do for you. Michael, nice to have you.
Nice to be here. So, SCORE started about 52 years ago. It was an acronym. It stood for Service Corps of Retired Executives. Nowadays, all of our members are not necessarily retired, and some of them are pretty young. And so it's turned into an acronym, and it's completely independent. But it once it got started, and just to tell you the background, it was actually a DuPont down in Delaware that when he retired, got together a group of his colleagues and they started to help small business people build and plan their business. And the new administrator of the Small Business Administration, which started around the same time, heard about it and needed some help because he was trying to guarantee loans for companies and people were going into banks without a business plan. So SCORE originally started to help small business people create their own business plan. Nowadays, it's grown a lot. It's the largest network of business mentors in the United States.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second? So for people that are listening, that you do all this, there is no cost. This isn't a business. You're providing this service free of charge. I just want that to be people to understand.
It,
so
yeah.
As you're speaking, people can even more appreciate what you're going to talk about, the services that you guys provide.
Right, and it's free of charge because our 11,000 volunteers, like myself, I'm retired, and we volunteer our time. So it's a nonprofit, and I guess the payment that we get out of it is the joy when someone is successful. And I remember going to a conference actually and finding out that some of my clients had created about 250 jobs. So that's the other payment. You realize that you're creating jobs. And as you probably know, small businesses create most of the jobs in America. Anyway, SCORE is organized across the country in 300 chapters. We're the Northeast Massachusetts chapter, which is essentially Essex County. We're a resource partner of the SBA, so if you go into the SBA, they'll probably refer you to
refer
us.
Refer you back. Uh-huh.
And we have a local branch here in Cape Ann. They meet clients in Rockport at the Cape Ann Savings Bank. You have to make an appointment.
Who do you call?
Well, you call...
Is there a website?
It's actually an answering service is who you call. There is a website, which is scorenemass.org. And that'll give you the directions and the phone number. Usually what happens is that people refer, they leave a message and someone calls you back, set up an appointment, and then once you're a client, the next meeting is set up during the meeting. That's usually the pattern that goes on.
Are they able to get their meetings? Are the clients, the potential clients able to get their meetings in a, what kind of time period?
They meet clients every Tuesday.
Okay, so you might wait a couple weeks for an appointment, or
no? Well, probably. I would say that they usually meet about five people a week, and I think you don't necessarily have to wait. I think that the first callback probably takes care of any urgent issues. But mm-hmm. I don't know that we get a lot of urgent issues. We get a lot of people dreaming.
Well, to them, it might be urgent.
Well, they're thinking about starting,
right,
and they're
right.
not quite sure what to do.
Right.
And of course, the first stage in any business plan is do a lot of research, so maybe some direction as to where they can find the information or how they go about it would get them started, and then they can come in and so on. I think people, too many people think about jumping into something. Our bias is to check it out first to make sure it's a business. It might be a great hobby. The ideas are all great, you have to remember that. But some things do not. For example, my background was in the food business. And if I was listening to a typical client who has a chocolate chip cookie or a pasta sauce, something like that, that their friends and relatives have all told them it's great, it should be in Whole Foods. Well, probably they didn't realize that whatever it costs them is going to have to sell for four times that cost in order to create a margin so they could actually support all of their costs and market it. And so then they have to figure out how can they make it cheaply enough so it can be sold at the magic price that consumers are willing to pay. And you don't know that until you test it. So we encourage people to get into a test market situation as soon as they can, which is easier with a chocolate chip cookie, which they can make at home, than it is for an app on the phone, as an example, which mm-hmm. needs to be programmed. But we deal with all those kinds of ideas. Even someone with a schooner in Gloucester Harbor once upon a time. And there's a local client, Rusty and Ingrid Creative Company, that came to us 4 years ago and still visits, who are artists. They sell screen prints of typical New England scenes, and they've built their business up to the point where they now have a store in Rockport on Main Street. And
they also sell product. I think they sell to L.L. Bean, if I'm not mistaken.
I think their business has gone, well, essentially doubled every year for 4 years.
Yeah.
So they're a regular client of ours. And another initiative that is a little more recent, where the SCORE members here worked with the Chamber and Endicott College and Discover Gloucester to announce the Endicott Intern Program and offer their help to train the companies on how best to use the intern and work with the interns so that they will benefit from their intern experience. So that's an ongoing program where it's essentially mentoring. That's what we do. But the reason I'm here today is to announce a workshop that we have scheduled for January 9th. It's going to be at the Cape Savings Bank on Main Street in Gloucester, 10 a.m. in the morning. It's open to anyone who's interested in starting a business. And it's essentially information for startups. That's what it is. Everything from soup to nuts, everything you'd need to know about how to get started. That includes the legalities and financing information. It's an interactive workshop. We've done it before. Typically, we customize the information to the attendees. Everyone has a different target market, and a different way of finding out how to talk to them and how to find out what they're really looking for. So we're doing that to raise awareness of SCORE, obviously awareness of the appointments that are available, the help that's available. There's also a lot of online information, templates, and resources that people can access at score.org, as well as our own website. And of course, once you become a SCORE client, you get our newsletter and you get access to our workshops.
So,
do people need to register for this January workshop?
They don't really need to register, but I think it's probably a good idea. And when we publicize it, we'll put our email so people could just
right.
let us know.
Right.
I think the bank is going to have posters and so on, so
mm-hmm.
it'll be available to everybody. But
good.
No, you could, in theory, just walk in if you wanted to.
Okay, good.
And by the way, if someone was interested in some of the other workshops, we have a regular monthly workshop at the Danvers Public Library, which is called the Peabody Institute Library in Sylvan Street in Danvers. and the second Wednesday of the month. The next one we're doing is marketing through social media, where a couple of our clients are actually going to explain their successes that they've had on Facebook and LinkedIn. And of course, we'll talk about how you develop a social media campaign, which is a great boon to small business owners because it's free, and they can test it out and they can refine their ideas. And of course, if they want to get in greater detail, we have other ideas. So every month there's one of those, and we do that through a meetup, which is an online app that people can sign up for. It's all free.
Mm-hmm.
But that once they sign up, they get regular information and reminders of the programs.
I just went to the website. The website has all the information on how to get in touch with everybody.
Very good.
So the link is going to be in the show notes. So just refer to the show notes of the podcast, and it'll bring you right there. I'm just going to dumb it down a little bit, just so people,
because
it's not a big mystery of what's going on, but I'm just going to give it an example. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. So say you're any kind of artist, you want to do a plumbing company, you want to do anything at all, you have you're excellent, skilled, you believe in yourself, but you have no idea. Like what government forms you have to fill out, anything. These guys can guide you because they have, they've most of them are retired. They have all that knowledge that they can save you hours and hours of research just during a conversation. So say, let's pick an example. Say I am a, let's see, something interesting. Okay, say I want to sell, I love coffee, and I want to be a coffee roaster, and I want to sell my own beans. Go ahead.
Okay.
Come in.
So the first thing that we're going to ask is, we're going to encourage you, and we're going to say it's a great idea. We're going to ask whether they're premium beans or regular beans. We're going to ask who you expect to sell them to. We call that the target customer. And we're going to want you to describe that person in great detail. Male, female, age, income, interests, and so on. So once the client has a very clear idea who they want to speak to, we're going to suggest they go speak to those people. Find 5 to 10 of them and talk about them and find out what their needs are. You're currently buying roasted bean coffee. Where do you buy it? Is it Starbucks? Is it the grocery store? And so on. What's good about it? What's not? And trying to identify the holes in the market. And the hole in the market is how you can create a product that would be differentiated. It would be an additional variety available. And once you have the idea of the product, the next step is to come up with a mock-up, a sample, essentially, and then bring it back to people and say, okay, here it is. What would you pay for that? And try to find out whether or not they're going to pay enough so you can make a big enough margin to turn it into a business, because a business has a reasonable chance of making a profit.
Mm.
If you find out you can produce it for $7.99 and they're only going to pay $5, you've got a problem.
Yeah. So how much of this do you encounter? I read a book a long, long time ago. It was by the producer, the guy that invented the show Survivor.
Oh.
And the guy at this point, it's a huge success. But his whole point was, if every project that you have, if you think it all the way through to the very end, you'll never get started. That was his premise. His premise is you will never get started. But if you believe in it and you have a reasonable, if you can't, every little obstacle could deter you from starting, but you have to like forge your way through. You're going to make mistakes, learn from the mistakes, and then you grow from it. Like what, how much, you know what I mean? Like how do you, what are your suggestions to people, like as far as you know, the pitfalls? Like, how do you not discourage them? Or do you just say, are you pretty blunt with them and say, listen, this is what you came back with me. You're going to have a tough row of it.
No, there's no discouragement, because all these ideas are great ideas. Our role is to hold up the mirror and let them discover it for themselves. You have to understand that pure marketing develops ideas from looking at the consumer market and then developing a product to fit a need. People, what you've just described is someone who came in with an idea. I want to sell coffee beans. So guess what? The whole world is selling coffee beans.
Yeah.
So
what's going to differentiate yourself?
Instead of saying, I want to be involved in the coffee industry, let me try to come up with a product that will fulfill a need that exists and not being satisfied. So most people didn't go through marketing training, and so in a way we have to help them do that. And they do it themselves. They do the work, they do the research, and they talk to people. That's another thing that's interesting about this, and I experienced this myself when I took an early retirement and became a consultant. I basically talked to people who were in business doing what I wanted to do and asked their advice. So I call that informational interviewing. I wasn't a competitor, so I wasn't a threat to them. And especially if you talk to someone who's another part of the country, you know, you could talk to someone in California, they don't see you as a threat, but they're already in the business and so on. I encourage people who are serious about, for example, in the service industry, I have a client who is in the wellness industry and so on, and she has training and background education. So I encouraged her to develop a LinkedIn page that essentially was aspirational. In other words, it looks like she's already a professional in that industry. Mm-hmm. And then call people who are already in the industry on the other side of the country. And of course, you know what people do. They'll check her out. They'll look her up and boom. What they saw was her LinkedIn page. Mm-hmm. So they know who they're talking to and they respect this person as a colleague. And then they're more willing to open up. So that's the benefit of social media. And of course, they'll give you advice just as we would give advice, but that advice is worth more because they're already in the business. And they'll tell you how you get started and how you get your first client and how you keep clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, social media is, I mean,
it's a very powerful.
I mean, at this point, to say that it's essential is kind of
like, yeah.
But that's interesting because many people, this is true, many clients come in and the first thing they want to do is form an LLC. They haven't even got a business, and some lawyer has scared them about protecting their assets. And they, you know, they're not even in business. I mean, it's just ridiculous in a way. So we try to get them back to square one and talking about what the idea is and how can they test the idea so they're not in a situation where they have any liability. And if they feel they need some sort of liability insurance, buy insurance. Talk to their insurance agent. Yeah. You don't have to form a company and lock yourself into paying a fee to the government and maybe an accountant to file your statements every year when there may not ever be a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's to be able to have, to know, I guarantee you, out of the people that are listening to the podcast, probably 95% of them or more don't even know that this free service exists.
Right, I'm sure you're right.
And
which is why we do the workshops. You know, to try to publicize the fact that we're here and we can help, and of course to bring people in to answer their questions and so on, to discourage them.
Yeah. When you have the flyer put together, hopefully someone puts a flyer together and they send it. We'll put it up on the blog as well. It's www.scorenemass.org is the website. It's linked in the podcast notes. Anything you want to add?
This has been a fun experience.
Well, yeah. We're glad to meet you.
Well, Michael, thank you for coming in. I'm glad we could put the message out there for you because it truly is a great opportunity for people. Thanks again.
Thank you.
That was really informative. I want to go over just my day yesterday because it was such a great day.
It was a Gloucester day.
I went to a couple places I hadn't been in a long while, so I want to give a little just my observations of these few places.
Yeah.
The Lannan is phenomenal, as always. Thank you, Captain Heath, and the crew. I say it all the time, if you're here for one day only,
That's the thing to do.
That is the thing to
do. You know, that's hard to pick. When you say that, if you have a limited amount of time, what do you choose to do?
And everybody's got
some different priorities.
Well, okay, would you say? Well, if you say someone's here for one day, it's a nice day like yesterday, what are you going to have them do?
Go out to the breakwater.
Take a walk on the breakwater?
That's like number one, maybe Halibut Point.
Those
two things. Yep. It depends on if they're outdoor walking kind of people or if they're museum kind of people or if they're whatever. But yeah, I would say Halibut Point or the breakwater would be number one on my
list. How about you, Jimmy?
What do you think?
Oh, I like the...
Besides Cape Ann Brewing.
What she was... I like what she was saying, but I agree. We've been trying to get on some cruises, and unfortunately, we keep getting bounced off of one because
it's
the weather
summer.
Wasn't right, or they didn't have enough people. They refunded more of our money because they said, "We're sorry, thanks for doing it, but unfortunately, we didn't get enough people, so we won't be able to do the cruise today." So I'm with you, Joey.
It's just so beautiful out there,
and the people.
It's a culmination. Listen, there's I could rattle off a dozen things that are all worthy, but this is my personal.
How many people were on the?
It was packed. It was packed. I think they were doing like this last weekend $20 cruises.
Oh, nice.
It was just you combine that weather, that day.
It was just stupid not to do it, right?
So we got off the boat. And I got the press release from the studio that they're doing half off sushi, so I'm going for half off sushi. They're gonna close like I think Halloween or something.
Yeah.
So I'm all in on
went there last night for dinner too, and we went for dinner. We don't.
Oh, you know what else I got? What did you get?
He had the lobster mac and cheese, and I had the steak tips.
I had the lobster mac and cheese as well yesterday.
Great minds. Great people.
Awesome.
Okay, what did you think of it?
All the chunks of lobster.
He's nuts!
Was
nuts!
I picked it up and everyone's looking at me because remember, we're still visitors here. So when I picked it up, I said, is there a nice way to eat this without picking it up and holding it up and
chewing it down your throat?
So I went and I'm cutting it and I'm going, well, maybe that's wrong. You don't cut lobster into little pieces. And then there was a spoon, a twirly spoon. So I ended up playing Italian, and I just kind of twirled my lobster into my spoon. I mean, I just didn't know. It was chunks of it. That thing had to weigh
2 pounds.
And the guy next to me, who had some sushi, leaned over to me and just said, I'll take that when you're
done with it.
He goes, I'll take it because you're not going to finish that, so I'll take it.
It's the first time I as a rule...
I don't
order lobster at a restaurant because I have access to, obviously, my business is lobster business. As a rule, I don't. One of my favorite things at any restaurant is the Wynwood Grill's lobster pie. And this is right there.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, oh, my God, it's so decadent. Anyway, so it was gorgeous day. So I went.
Were you outside?
From the landing, on the deck, with good friends, Mike Codere and Kate and Mike's girlfriend. Beautiful, gorgeous day. Went from there. We went to a place I never go to. I don't know why. I just, for some reason, there's no reason. I don't go there for some reason. I went yesterday, and I have to give them a huge shout out for the work they've done at Captain Carlo's. Have you been inside there?
We haven't been there.
In the outside deck and everything else?
We haven't been there recently. We were there.
Last Halloween.
We've been there
because
last year.
They put up an inside decoration
for
Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Nice
the decorations
are unbelievable.
But the outside, they have that this
outside.
Granite countertops. Everything is. See, it's hard for me to process because that was a fish company, Star Fisheries, right? And well, I don't know. It had to be 15, 16 years ago. They started, Captain Carlo's was a fish market.
Oh,
and they sold, literally, that space, the inside space was, deli cases full of haddock, flounders.
So that's still what you see in your head when you think Captain Carlos.
So what they did was, because, you know, it was hard to get anything. If you went to get Captain Carlos permitted in the shape and form that it is now, right off the bat, they'd laugh at you probably, like the, you know, to get that done.
Yeah.
But what they did, they went from a lobster company, I mean, just a retail fish market, to, oh, we're going to put a couple of picnic tables outside. Then, the following year, we're going to put a patio. The following year, we're going to screen this in, and we're going to sell lobster rolls, and maybe, you know, so people can just sit and eat the lobster rolls inside where the picnic benches are, and they're going to be screened in. The following year, they get windows put, replace the screens.
Genius development.
Right? So, because if you went for the whole nut, you know, there's all the anti-development people, you know, fight you tooth and nail. So then the following year, you know, I'm taking
evolution.
You know, there's an evolution. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna put a platform and we're gonna have a little music over here. The following year, outdoor bar, beer and wine. The following year, you know, it's a full blown basically nightclub that serves food.
Yeah,
and which is great, and it's and very tastefully done. Shout out! I just want to give them a shout out because I never go there and I never mention them. But here you go. You got your shout out.
When we have kids with us, that's where we like to take them there because it's relaxed for kids. It's got food they like. It's open. There's lots of room for them to move around.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Big bar area with screen TVs and
We met some people. There was some people there that were. Oh, so we met. It was towards the end of the night, and we had had a few at this point. And we met these people from Minnesota and Chicago, and that's all they kept saying was they just got in town. They were fans of the blog. They subscribed to the blog.
Oh my gosh! Oh, that's great.
And all they kept saying was, "You don't know how lucky you are to live here. Like, you don't know how lucky you are to live here. This is like we're in heaven right now." And I'm like, yeah, I kind of do know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was nice to hear. Anyway,
it's nice to hear.
So from there, we went to Stones.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
We like Stones.
Stones Pub. Yeah. And we had, Jamie was working, one of the best bartenders in town, if not the best bartender in town. So it's just a great
time. Stones has sounds this like a crazy great thing with peanut butter that they have. They put it on burgers and all these other different things.
I'm raising my hand. What do you think I had last night?
Yeah.
A hamburger with peanut butter and bacon at Stone's Pub. That was my dinner.
I'm sitting there one time. And
Jimmy, did you read my mind or did you get a memo on that?
No, you picked
it
before.
I'm looking at it and they're all looking at the menu and we're going with some family and they're all looking at some things and I just said, I don't know what this is, but I got to do it. And I joke that I might be the only one that day picking this, so the chef is probably laughing, saying, I finally sold one. But everyone's telling me it's real big for them. And just the other day, I saw an ad, and they were doing something else with the peanut butter. So I'm saying my hat's off to it. It is ingenious, and it is something else.
It's delicious.
Never thought.
They do a good job.
Peanut butter and a burger, folks.
Fantastic.
I couldn't recreate that if I tried.
That sounds like a great Gloucester day.
It was a great Gloucester day. And I was in bed by 8 o'clock because I had to be up at 3:30 for work. So I came to work this morning not cooked. So that's always nice. I wanted to do a shout. There's a couple of restaurant deals happening right now. Sunday brunch at Feather and Wedge. So I didn't realize this. They're hitting three things now. You go build your own Bloody Mary,
right,
which is a winner all day long for me. Lobster Eggs Benedict, winner all day long. And $1 oysters at Feather and Wedge Sunday mornings.
Wow.
No brainer.
That's
right?
Great. That sounds wonderful.
Win. Mondays at Seaport Grill, they're doing it every Monday, $14.95 after 4 p.m. prime rib dinners. That's a good deal.
That sounds good.
So there you go. Pat, did we talk about the mugs yet?
You mentioned it at the beginning. Oh. Yes.
But I can't believe these mugs. Mm-hmm. They are so fantastic. So next week, for my birthday, all of our friends are going to get mugs.
Perfect. That's perfect.
We might have to like, you know, sell tickets.
You might have to raffle them off or something.
No.
They're
going to be for the contributors.
Limited edition.
All the contributors get the mugs.
Perfect.
And we probably have about 20 contributors.
That's perfect.
Did you? How cool is
that?
This
is the ashtray
cigarette butt yeah. container that fits into your cup holder in your car. Ainsley Smith from Clean Gloucester dropped them off. I've already distributed 5 of them, and they are just.
Oh, I see. You just unscrew it. Okay.
You just unscrew the top.
All right.
The cigarette butts go right into the perfectly formed little hole in the top, so that they don't make a mess of your car like a nasty ashtray would.
Right.
And smokers.
And the ashes drop right down the center, which is like funneled down.
Yeah.
This is really a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing,
yeah.
and it's the impact.
Let's hope.
Compared to like people throwing these out the window, it's just a great impact. So I was happy to partner with them. It's great. Not just for my fishermen though. We're at 95 East Main Street in Gloucester, Captain Joe and Sons Lobster Company. Anybody out there that is a smoker or knows a smoker, please come down. I want to give this to you.
Pick it up.
Just come down and pick it up. I want you to have this. And I can get. Ainsley said she'll bring down more as soon as these are gone.
See, and I don't think even people who have an ashtray in their car necessarily like that mess that they could see. Right. This way, you've got a place to put the stuff that you can't even see, and an easy way to get rid of it when you need.
So that Clean Gloucester group, they're doing just an unbelievable thing. So we're going to bring it back to when you drove past them, they were painting on the sidewalk. Please don't use the world as your ashtray. Is that
something
to that effect?
Something to that effect. We drove by. I had seen the work. We had seen the work on the corner. We just assumed it was the city.
Was it right across from the Crow's Nest?
Well, it's on the corner
next
of the
door.
Crow's Nest by the Good Harbor Liquors.
Oh, okay,
and
yeah.
Same
it's
side.
Right there.
Oh, on the same
and
side.
And it's out in the road.
Yeah.
It's actually out in the road. My first thing when I was riding by, I thought they were putting a handicap spot out and they were painting it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you could always use those. So we just rode past because she's wearing a road jacket.
The artist, yeah.
Yes.
Susan.
You know, like a worker jacket.
Oh, okay.
With stripes like, don't hit me.
Oh, know, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So we just thought it was that. Then as we're going by, we're starting to notice more people looking and there's signs now on the barriers around. So I said to her, I said, now.
This is a post.
This is
a blog post.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
She has a schedule, things in mind, and I just went, look, let me do that. Well, she was on her way to the library to do some more genealogy work. So I said, okay, well, you go over there and I'm going to come back and take care of this. So I went back and spoke to her.
Susan Waller, I think her name
yes.
is.
And she had told me that she actually had something down at Good Harbor Beach where she was doing the same thing, where she had a big pan out or tray saying, use this. But she said, somebody took it. And took that, and that's bad. And that's when she said to me, I'm a smoker.
Yeah.
And I believe if you're going to smoke, you got to clean up after yourself. So I'm doing this with the agency that she was working with.
Gloucester Clean Commission.
Clean Gloucester, yeah.
And then she showed me a picture. You know, I looked the sign. Then she showed me where it was going to be, you know, how long it will take her to do it, and the original sign. And I thought it was really great. It's kind of hard to take some pictures when the traffic was pretty big and not everybody wanted me to step out. But I will tell you, as soon as you mentioned that you're with Good Morning Gloucester and you're with Joey, she just stopped everything and wanted to tell me everything she could.
That's great.
So, wearing the GMG stuff works.
I hope we see some effects of less cigarette pollution soon. But I think it'll take a while.
Well, I think it's just
so much
I think it's just like I think it's just like. It's like I brought this analogy up last week, and I think it holds true. Like I think it's a whole different thing, but racism, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the 70s, and you know, awareness, and you keep on talking in schools and everything like that. I think that children that are growing up right now have a whole different. It's a whole different ball game.
Absolutely.
In the playgrounds today than it was back in the 70s.
Absolutely.
And like you know, and as say as we get older, and say like older folks that like 10 years ago, like no one would old people would not adopt an iPhone, right?
And, right.
And like as those people die off, like more and more, like everybody kind of adopts,
it just rises up.
Everybody uses an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
But did you have something to say, Bob? Yeah. Wynot's with us, by the way.
Yeah, I went to Japan in 2001 to Shimano, to our sister city, and everybody in Japan smoked. I don't know if they still do, but in 2001, everybody smoked, and you could smoke anywhere, on buses, even in the front atrium of the school, their teachers could go and smoke. But everybody carried a little, one of those squeeze purses that's made out of leather, and that you squeeze it, and all the butts went in that. Nobody throws anything on the streets. They're immaculate. And I went to Toronto,
that's
same
amazing.
Thing. And I went to Montreal, same thing, no litter. What is it that we're doing wrong? I mean,
right.
in the United States.
Right.
I mean, some
right.
of the southern cities are very clean, too.
Mm-hmm.
It just
I agree with you. Montreal streets, like,
Toronto,
spotless.
Toronto is a beautiful, clean city. So clean.
You know, one of the things that you know, we can get into a thing about litter, but, you know, one of the things about litter that is definitely true is, If the streets are completely clean, there's less likelihood of someone else to drop something.
Absolutely.
As soon as someone sees one paper cup on the road, then it's exponentially.
Yep. That's absolutely true.
It's a broken window.
Yeah. One broken window.
I call it the lemmings method. Lemmings right off the cliff.
Right.
One goes, they all go.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But we haven't dealt with it in Gloucester. Every time we talk about litter on the city council, they just raise the fine again. But nobody gets the fines.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you raise them, the less likely is a police officer going to say, I'm giving you a $200 fine for dropping that cigarette. But maybe if it was $10, and maybe if you had to go to the courthouse and pay it in person and show an ID, so you're all equal then.
Mm-hmm.
The rich person is just as much of a problem for them as it is for the poor person. That's what we need to do, I think, and educate.
Yeah.
Well, I'll follow up on the pictures once we. Well, I'll follow.
See
what
this. Jimmy GMG.
GMG Jimmy.
Jimmy GMG.
Out there on the loose, folks.
Yeah, watch out.
Be careful.
Jimmy, do you have a? Pat, all the photos that you post, are they with the camera or with your cell phone?
Most of them are with my camera.
Really?
Yeah. Most of them.
All right.
Once in a while, it's my phone, but.
So there you go. You went to Pier 23 recently.
We did. We went for lunch one day this week. Really enjoyed it. I had the chicken salad, and Jim had the honey mustard chicken wrap. We had wraps and the Greek fries. Oh my God, they were good.
They're doing good.
Loved the atmosphere. That's the thing I think I wanted to say. Loved the atmosphere in there. Nice and clean. Affirmations on the walls and the bathrooms. Friendly staff. It was great.
The owners always come out and they check on your table.
Yes.
I love that. That's a nice touch.
Yeah, and bonus, if you post a picture of your food, they give you 10% off.
Did you do that?
I didn't. I did take a picture of food. I wanted to wait until I got out of there before I made the post. I don't usually feel too comfortable doing it right there.
They're great.
They were.
My friend from used to live in Gloucester. He moved to Tampa. Every time he comes into town, he normally goes to Destino's. Someone told him he's got to go to Pier 23. He went to Pier 23 for breakfast. And he's like, oh, I went there. It was fantastic. You got to see this almond. I says, breakfast? I'm like, you got to go and get the burger there.
Burger
is a showstopper.
Yeah.
The one with the one I get, the Blue Zone Burger, it's the big patty with the chicken. Barbecue chicken, like the buffalo chicken tender with the blue cheese, and then the buffalo sauce on top of that on a brioche bun.
That day it was the French toast burger, and when the chef came out and was talking to everybody, I just said to him, or maybe it was the owner, I wasn't sure, But when he came out and was talking to everybody, I said, okay, you got to tell me about this French toast burger. And he goes, eh, we just create things. It's no big thing. He was really playing it down. But I saw a bunch of people getting it. It was the size of I don't know what.
It's a very nice experience.
I want to say having the bar in there, you would think, when you look at that building, and they have outside a flag that says, now serving beer and wine and everything else, you would say, okay, wait a second. How can they possibly do that? But that little bar they set up was perfect size. You don't feel crowded. They have so many great booths. They have tables. Bars. Again, just a comfortable place.
You know,
when I
go there, though, I don't think of that place as a place to go to have a beer.
No, I don't. It doesn't have that vibe.
To me, it doesn't. I mean, I don't know.
There were some people there.
But if you want it with your burger, and I also noticed it was a wide variety of demographics of the customers.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a lot of senior citizens. There were people probably out of work on their lunch hour, so business people. There were family groups. It was a nice.
I thought that location was I'll be honest, perfectly honest with you. I thought the location was completely doomed. I didn't think anyone was going to make it there. Not because it's just. I know that there's a big rent there and everything else, but I just thought there had been four failed restaurants before that.
Yep.
And I'm just like, there's something that's not adding up here.
Mm-hmm.
These guys came in.
Yeah, they're doing something right.
I hope they're doing something right.
Continue to do well.
Thumbs
up to them. You wanted to give a shout out to Kim and her frog pictures.
Yeah. Can you tell me this? She's not here, so we can talk about her a little bit, maybe. How does she make those frogs look as beautiful as those butterflies? I don't get it. It's like frogs typically.
I guess
you're
it's
not
all in perspective. I'm not a big frog. Like, you know, some slimy frog to me is not as beautiful.
Either, right? But you look at the picture, and they're just as sweet as you.
My takeaway on her photos of the frogs was how she stopped time and captured. She got the frog with the cap. Getting the bee in the mouth midair, and then she's got the one with the heron, the frog's like sandwiched in between his beak, and I'm like, she does have, Kim is
she's an amazing an
incredible
eye.
Photographer.
She
puts
eye.
In the time.
Yeah,
she has incredible.
She's up at
and
dawn.
She has incredible. She's great equipment as well.
Yeah,
but yeah. All those pieces come together for her, and knowing where to be, just the knowledge base of knowing where to be.
Right, she just astounds me with her. So I kept looking at those frog pictures, which normally wouldn't intrigue me very much, but I kept thinking, these are as pretty as the butterflies. How is that possible?
She does good work.
Yeah, she did great work. Good job, Jeff.
We're so lucky to have her. Traffic to take pictures. She's waiting.
I get these emails, and they're starting to drive me nuts. From people that don't understand the difference between the newsletter at the end of the night, and they don't know that the blog exists in live time, like at the URL. They think that the blog is the email blast at the end of the night. So I get these emails saying, I got, you know, is there any way for me to get the news earlier because I get the email blast at 8:30 at night and I missed out on that, you know, there was some deals that you posted that day.
Just go to the blog.
I got one today from a person who is that just moved to Gloucester and is in the PR business. Their email is this person's name that PR and they have a website for their PR business. And she didn't understand it. And I'm saying to myself,
all right,
how can you be in PR and not wrap your mind around how to get to the blog or that the blog is a blog and not a newsletter at the end of the night?
Right.
But so anyway, for people that don't understand, if you get the email at the end of the night, if you want to see earlier what's happening, because we post every hour on the hour from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. and sometimes in between, you can go directly to www.goodmorninggloucester.com and then you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it as
live,
it unfolds.
As it
There's a lot of interactive features like the commenting and seeing what's going on as it comes on.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I look at it. I have it, you know, bookmarked. You save it to your favorites.
Yeah,
you click on the button and you check on the latest post.
Yep. That's
it's not difficult. But the email blast
is not a separate function.
Like so some people say that's the blog. It's an aggregation of the daily blog post, but it's not the blog. The blog resides at www.goodmorninggloucester.com.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Good. Bobby Wynat is here as part of our offering to any candidate to come in and speak about why they're running. And it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming. You're all dressed up. You look handsome. What's going on?
After this, I go knocking on doors.
Oh, there you go.
And standouts, too. I do that.
Yeah.
Every day I go to a different neighborhood, stand out for an hour. I was at Demoulas' yesterday twice, and then I was in Anaswam as well. So I did 3 standouts yesterday.
Why don't you tell the people a little, you know, you've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself? And then tell them why you're running.
Okay. I was born and brought up in Gloucester. Graduated from Gloucester High in 1963. Then went into to Bryant Stratton in Boston, studying computers. And I was in computers for 25 years. And I got my bachelor's degree nights at Franklin Pierce College in 1987. Both of my kids were able to come to the graduation. It was a 3-day thing. It was really fun. I worked in the computer industry for all those years, and I was on the big computers, IBM, big boxes, and I could take a card and hold it up and read the holes. Well, eventually, things changed, and everything started getting smaller, and the company I was with didn't follow suit, and so I became a dinosaur, kind of. And when the city clerk's job, by the way, first of all, I did run for council in 1976 with a new charter. And I started with Gus Foote and Ab Kumbati, John Lyon, John Bell, and a bunch of others. And we brought the new charter in. And then I was on again 4 years later. I was on for another term when we had to bring in the Proposition 2.5 and tax classification, the big bugaboo. And so then my daughter one day said, "Daddy, you never stay home with us. All you ever do is go to meetings."
Yeah.
So I called up Carl Grace, who had wanted to run, but he wasn't going to run against me, and I said, "Go to it." So I decided not to run again until my kids were out of high school, or in high school at least. And then the city clerk's job became available, and there was like 66 people, and I applied for it, and it was a funny, it's a long story. I'm not going to tell you the long story how I got the job, because it was really a mystery. But anyway, I did that for 17 years, ran 40 elections, married 1,000 couples, and I loved the job. But when they straightened up the tower, all that junk came down, and I have asthma anyway, and I got aspergillus in my lungs.
Oh.
And I had to retire early. I didn't take a medical. I just went out on regular retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to run for council, and I served 3 terms. I've been on all 3 committees. Budget and Finance, I was the chairman of that. ONA, I was the chairman of that. And I was on Planning and Development for 1 term. And I really enjoyed it. Came to the point where I said, you know something, it's time to really retire. And so 2 years ago, I decided not to run again. But sitting home on the couch, reading the paper, and just turning the air blue at what I was seeing, just didn't do it for me. So I decided to get involved again. And, you know, one of the issues was the plastic bags. I really think that's going to be a hardship on the elderly people. And I think litter is the problem, and we need to address litter. And, you know, I made up a slogan myself that said, if you could carry it full, why can't you carry it empty? Don't pollute. We all live here, and we should start educating. Last time I heard anything about pollution was, give a hoot, don't pollute, but you haven't heard that. You don't hear Smokey the Bear anymore. We're not educating.
Right.
Tell me about the... So how the plastic bags are a hardship on the... Because it's tougher to carry the paper bags?
Yes, it is. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
My own personal thing is my wife goes grocery shopping, puts the bags out on the lawn, on the wall, and I get down and I take and I put one of those bags on every finger, and I carry sometimes 2, so I might carry up to 12 bags. And I go up the stairs, there's only 10 steps, but as you know, by the time I get to the top of the steps, I'm not going back down. So it's a hot, and I know that, I talked to Ray Lamont, He said it was same thing for him. It's tough. And the people go to, especially Shaw's in the middle of town, mm-hmm. because the people go for the elderly housing, and they go every day and buy two things and carry them back. And I think that pollution is a problem, but if you throw those plastic bags in your trash, they get burned up in an incinerator, and they make electricity, and the exhaust is clean coming out. So that helps the carbon footprint. If you don't want to do that, you can take them back to the stores, and they take them. So the only problem there is people throwing them around. And we've got to educate them on that. I like to have some posters showing people folding them up and putting them in their pocket. Mm-hmm. Carry it home. I mean, you carried it there, carry it home. Mm-hmm. And
What are some of the things that I ask this question of everybody that comes in. What are some of the low hanging fruit besides the paper the plastic bag issue that you think are pressing issues that should be addressed?
Fuller School. I was a lone vote to not sell it. At the end, they all decided to sell it, but I didn't want to sell it. We paid $4 million. I mean, I've been around a long time, so I remember when we bought it, excuse me, for $4 million, and that was 40 years ago. I could buy a Cadillac for $7,000 then, brand new.
And it was 40, sold, did you say 40 years ago?
Oh, 40 years, yeah.
Yep, okay.
Right around that.
Yeah.
And we only got $4 million for it. Disaster. Plus, we need that, that's 10 and a half acres. That $4 million will be gone in a year. It'll be spent. And that land is gone forever. We're talking about making two new schools. Where are we going to put them? We're going to have to buy land someplace else, or even if we own land, it's tough to clear enough land to build a school on. So I was upset about that. I was upset about the fact that when the Gloucester Crossing came in, I understand we were promised a hotel and we didn't get one there. That's okay because there's one downtown. But the elderly assisted living, we never got that either. So now we're going to sell that. We got this thing going, and they're saying it's a hardship. We can't afford to do the low income. And I say, tough. I say, if you can't fulfill what you signed up for, then go away and give it back to us. And maybe we put the two schools there. So I want to be there to make sure that the promises get kept this time. And it just aggravated me.
Can you explain to me, what was the, to you, what, see, I don't know about Fuller School. What was the idea behind letting it go, like letting it get to the state of disrepair that it got to? What was that all about? Like, to me, it was a brick building, right? And yeah. and I went to that school. It seems like a brick building. It should hold up, right? I'm not trying to be funny or anything like that about that, but like, and I don't follow school systems. I don't have kids in the Gloucester school system, so I don't know, because I know it's a polarizing subject. There are people that go psychotic on this issue, but from your perspective, like, why was that school like let to go into disrepair instead of being used?
It was really a shame. I was there for the last concert when they had the symphony there, and the building needed some repairs, but it wasn't beyond repair, and it could have been used again for a lot of things. Now, they said it couldn't be used for an elementary school again because once you stopped having classes in there, you have to, it's just like when you get electrical work done. When you have it done again, you have to come up to code.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't work because the classrooms are the wrong size. Excuse me. And they're all concrete
walls.
Load-bearing walls.
Yeah.
And to tear that down would have been cost-prohibitive. So, but we could have used it for a temporary school. We didn't have to go to St. Anne's because there was no law against doing that. And it was all decisions made by the mayor at the time. The decision was made to...
Well, wait, let me ask you a question. Does the mayor make those decisions, or does the city? Does the school committee? Because the way I understand it, the school committee makes those decisions.
The school committee declared it surplus after they stopped using it as a school. But it was still a serviceable building then.
Okay.
And I believe it's difficult.
Oh, I don't want you to get in trouble.
No, anyway, the mayor turned off the power, turned off the water, turned off the heat, and the building just deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought people in and said it would cost $15 million to rehab that building. That was one of these.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe it for a minute that it couldn't have been rehabbed cheaper than that.
Mm.
And it could have been used for a lot of things. City offices is what I was pushing for.
Mm.
Everything in one place so people didn't have to go to City Hall, then Pond Road, and go back to City Hall.
Mm.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. And the building was let to corrode, in my opinion. Mm. It's just, and
so,
it's a shame.
So, so now there's a proposal. Where does the proposal stand now with the YMCA and stuff? Is that stuck in the mud, or is that going forward, or where is that?
Right now, I think it's stuck in the mud, because they're trying to say, well, we'll give you $1.5 million, and it's only a half because the mayor would have to take the million out of some fund, and then we don't have to do the low in affordable housing, which we need. We only have 7% roughly affordable housing. If we get up to 10, then nobody can come in with a 40B and steamroll over our committees.
Mm.
And it's been stuck at that for a long time, and we keep letting people get away with not adding to the affordable housing. Section 8 doesn't count.
Mm.
Only the affordable housing units.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we really need that, and I think we hold people's feet to the fire. This is what you signed up for. Don't give me this hardship thing afterwards. If you are underfunded to buy the thing, that's not our fault.
Where is the Cameron's one? Is that affordable housing as well?
Yeah, there's supposedly some affordable housing. I don't know if it's going to be all affordable housing.
Is that going forward?
It's not going forward right now, and I don't know why.
Okay.
Maybe they don't have the money.
So outside of all that school stuff and affordable housing stuff, what are some of the other things that you think are low-hanging fruit that can be tackled right away?
Well, as I mentioned before, the litter.
Yeah.
I've been on the council. Every time we raise the fine, I vote against it because it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's getting the fines.
Yep.
We need to educate. I mean, I think Clean City Commission has done a great job, and they have educated as well as doing the work. And we need to do that with litter. Tell people this is not the thing to do. And, you know, you go to places in front of, where was I yesterday when they, I was at some place where they were going inside, and they were stomping out their cigarettes right on the white concrete. Somehow we have to either put receptacles everywhere or tell people this is the way to do it. Maybe we get some of those things from Japan that those people use.
Well, it's nice that they gave us the clean glosser gave us these to put in for smokers to put in their cars. They're little receptacles, and we're distributing them down here to our fishermen and anybody that wants to come get them.
I have one.
Yeah, they're great, huh?
Yeah, they are.
They're great ideas.
Could you clarify what position you're running for?
I'm running for council at large.
Oh, at large.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I was the last three terms.
Okay.
So I've had five terms, two terms as a ward councilor, and three terms as an at-large councilor.
Okay.
And my son ran twice. That's the hardest thing for me to tell people. It's not him running, it's me. Because I'm getting it everywhere. And I changed my slogan to bring Bob back instead of elect.
So that
they know it was me.
Make it clear.
It still isn't.
It's funny. I've seen you out and about quite a bit, like standing up on the across from Charlie's place and stuff like that. So he's getting it done there. He's out there getting it done.
He's out there.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Anything else you want to add in closing? Do you have a website you want us to send people to?
Yes, I do. It's by the way, you don't have to use www for most of the time. I can just type in the URL.
Yeah.
BobWhynot.com.
All right, I'm going to put that right in there. BobWhynot.com. All right. Two T's, right?
Yes.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for coming in. What's that? Well, I'm glad, and we have to say, like we've said on every podcast, we'd like to thank Bob for coming in, and any of the other candidates that want to come in. You have an open invitation. You just have to get a hold of me. There's only a couple that haven't come in. I think Joe...
Shalino, is
Joe Orlando, the lawyer, Rosalino. Yeah, so if they want to come in, they can come in. You had something to say about Cape Ann Bowling?
Yes, we had, I just wanted to give them a shout out. We had a family event there recently, a couple nights ago. They did a great job. Walked in the door thinking I was photographing a child's birthday party for my cousin, and it turned out to be a birthday party for me.
Ah!
But, you know, full disclosure. But we walked in, and there's a sign over in the corner. They have, like, what appears to be like an event room over on the side. And there's a sign out for Happy 50th Joey. And I'm like, huh, wouldn't that be something?
Oh, yeah, so there's right.
Believe it or not, there's another 50-year-old Joe in town.
Wow,
but,
see that?
They did a great job.
I'm going to say something about that place. It is not your grandfather's Cape Ann Bowling.
Okay,
because,
I got to go with that.
10, 15 years ago, the place was a little... It wasn't necessarily clean as it is now. The people that have purchased it have put some money into it, spruced it up, clean, light.
Yeah.
You know, they've lightened it up.
Definitely.
And it's a great place to go. They have beer there.
Yeah, they have. It's a great place to take the family. Although I'm so old that in my day, bowling required a 10 to 15 pound ball that had three holes in it.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't do it. You know, they have these smaller...
Candlepin bowling. This is called candlepin bowling.
Okay, did not know that either.
Yeah.
So that was new to me, but that was still fun. And yeah, it's light. All the machinery seems to operate well.
Yeah.
They have enough staff there to take care of people. They really did a nice job.
It's a great place.
Yes, I worked with... Caitlin was behind the counter, and she was the one that put all this together. I think she's the wife of... owner, so she...
Well, they own a couple. They don't just own this one. There's some out of town, so they know the bowling business.
Okay.
It's a great place for a party.
We had fun.
Oh man, that was a great podcast. The hour flew by.
Yes.
We're at an hour and 7 minute. Pat,
perfect.
Thank you for being my co-host today.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll be your Ed McMahon any day.
You'll be my big man. Jimmy GMG. Is it GMG Jimmy or I keep getting messing
up. I kind of like the way GMG Jimmy falls out of my mouth.
Off the tongue.
I'm going with that, yeah.
All right.
That's what I do. I fall out of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Another Gloucester cast. 247, 3 from 250 in the books.